Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am not a legend, I am a sinful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I request you all to pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives my sins. That would be extremely rewarding for me if you could do that for me. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah الذي التضى رسوله وحبيبه في الأرض والسماء والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين قاموا بالصدق والصفاء أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل في ضلال مبين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم. Respected audience, first of all I would like to congratulate you all for being present here at this time in the morning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all free will and we could be wherever we want at this time in the morning. Many of us could have been in our beds sleeping and resting in dreamland. However, alhamdulillah, we have chosen to wake up, sacrifice our sleep, our beds, left our families at home, and we have come here to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward this sinful servant as well. Before I begin on the topic that I have been given to speak on, may we all sincerely from our hearts, and not quietly but loudly, recite and send salutations, durood sharif, upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. You know, when you go to, or if you've heard of a football stadium or a race course like we are here, the people that come, the fans that come to watch, do you know how loud they shout when they are praising the teams or the person that's taking part in the sports activity? They shout out so loudly with passion. We should be loving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam a lot more than them people love their teams and their people who take part in these sports. So when somebody asks you to recite the Durood Sharif, you should recite with passion. There should be no lackness in your passion for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I'm going to ask you all one more time if you all can recite the Durood Sharif upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin ma'dinil judi wal karam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. And why would we not? Why not? Because he was the most beautiful person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. The most beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How beautiful he was. Once a person asked Sayyiduna Bara' radiallahu ta'ala an, and this is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, that how beautiful was the blessed face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was it so beautiful that it shone like the shining of a sword? You know how the sword shines? The blade. To Sayyiduna Bara radiallahu ta'ala and says, La. No, it didn't just shine like the blade of a sword. Bal mithlal qamar. His sallallahu alayhi wasallam's blessed face shone like the moon shines in the skies. That is how beautiful the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. Subhanallah, Sayyiduna Bara radiallahu ta'ala says, Kemma ra'aytu ahsana minhu, la ba'dahu wa la qablahu. I never saw anybody more beautiful than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, neither before or not after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is how beautiful the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. When Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala spoke about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's beauty, he says, إِذَا ضَحِكَ, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam smiled, Subhanallah, just imagine. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. He says, "Yatala'la'u fil judur," that we could see the blessed light illuminating from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed mouth when he smiled, and we could see the reflection on the walls. That is how much beauty there was that was coming out from the blessed mouth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he smiled inside the room. Imagine that the walls are shining because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is smiling. And Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Salam radiyallahu anh, he had mastered the previous books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent. He had read the Old Testament, he had studied the New Testament, and he was waiting for this final Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had read the signs of the final Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was waiting to hear of this final Prophet so that he could travel and test this man to see whether he is the final Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he heard of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard that a man called Muhammad is claiming that he is a Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he traveled and he came in the court of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he came with the intention of testing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeing that do I find them signs in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I have read in the Old and the New Testament. And do you know what he says? He says, فَلَمَّا اسْتَبَيَّنَتْ وَجْهُهُ sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became apparent upon me the first time I saw the face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, عَرِفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابٍ, that I came to know immediately that it is absolutely impossible that this beautiful face can be the face of a liar. It is absolutely impossible. Meaning, it was the first time I saw this blessed face, and it was so beautiful that I could not believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would gather so much beauty in this one face, yet he would be a liar. This is not possible. This is how beautiful the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. Subhanallah, he was without doubt the greatest gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him so beautiful. And do you know from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Salam's hadith or his narration, he says, عَرِفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابٍ, that just by looking at the beauty in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face, I came to know that this is not the face of a liar. And immediately he accepted Islam. From this we also learn that a way of recognizing whether a person is true or not is looking at the beauty of his face. And if you look at the people today, the ulama-i kiram, look at the ulama-i kiram of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, do you not find them to be beautiful? They are so beautiful, the ulama-i kiram. And those who have seen the blessed face of Sayyidi Huzur Taj al-Sharia, subhanallah, how beautiful is that blessed face. You know, I think sometimes that is the moon more beautiful, but I always come to the conclusion that the moon is nothing in front of the blessed face of Sayyidi Taj al-Sharia. And if you look at the faces of the Ahlul Bidah, the misguided people, do you find them to be beautiful? Of course not. They're not. You can tell that this man isn't beautiful. He who disrespects the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even his face becomes ugly. And it is as though it says on his face that I am from amongst the Ahlul Bidah. And when you look at the blessed and beautiful faces of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah scholars, you will see that it says on their blessed foreheads, as though it says Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, or Barelvi, or Sufi, or Qadri, or Naqshbandi. That's what it says. It seems like that. That is how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these people. And this is all through the inheritance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you know why? Because the ulama-i kiram, they are the wurathah. Al-ulama'u warathatul anbiya, that the ulama'i kiram are the inheritors of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they don't only inherit the nur, the knowledge from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they also inherit the nur and the blessed beauty of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a beautiful face. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says, and you must have heard this many a times, كَكُنْتُ أُدْخِلُ الْخَيْطَ فِي الْإِبْرَةِ حَالَ الظَّلَمَةِ لِبَيَاضِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that I would enter a thread into a needle. Do you know how hard that is? To enter a thread into a needle. I would enter a thread into a needle in darkness when there is no light. And you know, in the house of the Blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he chose to live the life of poverty, although he was the richest man alive, he had everything in his two hands, but he chose to live with nothing. There was no gas, there was no fuel to burn a light in his house for over 2 months. This would happen. In this darkness, he says, in this darkness, I used to enter the thread into the needle, لِبَيَاضِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, due to the light shining from the blessed face of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Should we not be thankful that Allah made us from His Ummah? Of course we should be. For such a beautiful face the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم had. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him such eyes. Do you know his eyes, the eyes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inni ara ma la taraun. I see all that you do not see. Everything that you don't see, I see it. These eyes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they could see everything that we can't see. What can we not see? We can't see what's happening behind us. We can't see what's happening behind the wall. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed eyesight, they could see all. They could see everything. There is a hadith that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into the night of Mi'raj, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed his blessed power onto my chest. فَوَجَدْتُ بَرْدَهَا بَيْنَ ثَدَيَّ, I felt the coolness of this power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on my chest. And he says, رَأَيْتُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, I saw everything that is in the skies and everything that is in the earth. I saw it all. Or it says, كَفَعَلِمْتُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, I came to know everything that is in the skies and in the earth. Subhanallah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and this is in Bukhari Sharif, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, amongst the Sahaba-i Kiram, whilst he was on a hill, he said to the people, he said, Hal tarawna ma ara? Do you see what I see? The Sahaba-i Kiram said, Ya Rasulullah, we do not see what you see. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inni la ara al fitan. تَقَعُوا خِلَالَ بُيُوتِكُمْ كَمَوَاقِئِ الْقَطَرِ, I see now. And do you know that in the Arabic language, those of you who are studying ilmun nahw or ilmun sarf, when there is a al-fa'lul mudari', yani the present tense and the future tense, and there is a lam maftuh before it, لَأَنْزُرُ or لَأَرَى, I am seeing now, it specifies it for the present tense. Which means the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that at this very moment as I am speaking to you, I am seeing it now. And what is he seeing? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنِّي لَأَرَى الْفِتَنِ, I am seeing right now from this place, fitan, plural of trials and tribulations, falling into your homes like the rain falls. And do you know, this was about the future. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informing us, the Sahaba-i Kiram, about one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, that this will happen in the future. But something that is yet to happen in the future, when is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeing that? When is he seeing that? He is seeing that in the present moment. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeing the future in the present moment. And do you know what we understand from it? The ulama, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they say that the knowledge and the sight of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not differentiate with time, zaman. It does not differentiate between the past, the present and the future. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sight and his knowledge, it consists of all present, past and the future. This is the eyes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Bukhari Sharif, again the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to the Sahaba Ikram in regards to salah, performing salah. He says, he turns around to the Sahaba Ikram and he says, "Hal tarawna qiblati hahuna?" Do you not see that my qibla is here, that I am facing this way, and you are all behind me, and that I cannot see you from where I am looking? You think that my qibla is here, I am looking that way, and you think I can't see you? Subhanallah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Wallahi ma yakhfa alayya ruku'ukum wala khushu'ukum." I swear by Allah, your ruku' is not hidden from me. From here, whilst looking that way, I am seeing your ruku' behind me. Wala khushu'ukum, and neither is your khushu', your God consciousness, hidden from me, whilst I am looking that way, facing that way. Subhanallah, what does that mean? You know, the ruku' is a physical movement, physical position. You can see, we can see somebody in ruku', but can you see what's in his heart? Even if you're facing that way, you can't see what's in their heart and what's in their mind. What their khushu' is, what their God consciousness is, we can't see it, even if we are facing that way. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes oath by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I swear by Allah, even though I am facing that way, I am still seeing your ruku' and I am also seeing your khushu'. Subhanallah, just think how great is this Prophet of Allah that Allah has given to us. How amazing is this person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent for us to guide us onto the straight path. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam then says, كَإِنِّي أَرَى وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِي إِنِّي لَأَرَى وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِي. That verily, surely I see behind my back. I can see behind my back. And this is in Bukhari Sharif. Why do people not understand that? This is in Bukhari Sharif. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed eyesight, his sight was not limited like our sight is limited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him so beautiful, so amazing, such a complete creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he was absolutely free from any type of faults. There was no faults in him. The Sahaba ikram say that, you know, the blessed face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كَأَنَّ الشَّمْسَ تَجْرِي فِي وَجْهِهِ. It was as though the sun is roaming around the blessed face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is how beautiful the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And do you know his blessed hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do you know how much power he had in his hands? Subhanallah. Do we all not know that when the people of Makkatul Mukarrama, the non-believers, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced prophethood, they came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, "If you are a true prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then show us a miracle. What miracle do you want to see? We want you to show us that the moon has split into two." What a demand that was. No one had ever done that before. No one had split the moon into two before. Nobody had ever demanded anything like that. But they demanded that from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has made everything musakhar, sakhara lakum, that he has made everything under the hukum of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Huwa alladhi khalaqa lakum ma fil ardi jami'a. Everything that has been created, he has been created to serve the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew that, and do you know what he did? He made a gesture with his finger like this, and the moon split into two. And then he made a gesture like this, and then a gesture like this. And subhanallah, the people who witnessed it, they said, "Okay, the moon split into two in such a manner, hatta ra'aw hira'an baynahuma," up to the extent that we saw the Mount Hira in between the two pieces of the moon. Subhanallah, that is how distinguished the two parts of the moon became when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that, simply by doing a gesture. And you know, this is also mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. It says in Bukhari Sharif ke in shaqqa, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala and records ke in shaqqa al-qamaru ala ahdi Rasulillahi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The moon was split into two in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that when the moon was split into two, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people ke ishhadu or ashhidu, accept faith or become witnesses that I have split the moon into two. This is the power Allah has given to me. And not only that, when the sun had set, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hands and he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Ya Allah, Allahumma inna aliyan fi ta'atika wa ta'ati rasulik. You know, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was once resting on the blessed lap of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting on the lap of the blessed lap of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala had not performed his Asr Salah. And the blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eyes are closed, and he is resting. Now Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala saw that the sun is going to set, and my Asr Salah will become Qada. What can I do? Shall I disturb the sleep of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or shall I perform the Salah? Or shall I not disturb the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What shall I do? And do you know that in this thought, he thought that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it wasn't for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Asr Salah would not have been a compulsory Salah upon us. If it wasn't for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there would have been no Salah fard upon us. And serving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam itself is a worship of Allah. And that is why Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala decided to allow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to continue resting until the sun had set. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awoke, he said that, O Ali, as-sallayta ya Ali? Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu said that, no, I have not performed salah yet. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I have not performed salah. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hands and he says, Allahumma inna aliyan fi ta'atika wa ta'ati rasulik. That Sayyiduna Ali, O Allah, Ali was in obedience to Allah and his messenger. Yani, O Allah, Sayyiduna Ali was in obedience to you and to your messenger. Which is the obedience of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, مَنْ يُطِئِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ. That he who has been obedient to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has automatically been obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the obedience of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes this dua, ke Allahumma inna aliyan fi ta'atika wa ta'ati rasulik fardud alayhi shams. Fardud alayhi shams, O Allah, bring the sun back for Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu. And the sun had already set. Has anybody ever witnessed the sun being set and then rising again from the place where it set? Nobody has seen that. But when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raises his blessed hands and he makes the dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does never refuse or reject the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But instead Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha says that I have always found, O Messenger of Allah, that Allah is haste in fulfilling whatever you desire, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the sun back. And Sayyida Fatima bint Umais radiallahu anha says, Ke ra'aytu shamsa qad tala'at. Or she says, Ra'ayna shamsa qad tala'at. We had seen that the sun had set. ثُمَّ رَأَيْتُهَا قَدْ طَلَأَتْ قَدْ غَرَبَتْ. And then she says, ثُمَّ رَأَيْتُهَا قَدْ طَلَأَتْ. We had seen that the sun had set, and then we saw that the sun rose again from where it set. These are the blessed hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the hadith of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. In Bukhari Sharif, this hadith is mentioned in three places. And you all must have heard of this hadith where Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu comes and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayka wa sallam, I hear many of your narrations, many of your sayings, your quotes, your hadith, Ya Rasulullah, but I forget all of them. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayka wa sallam, I hear many of your hadith, but I forget them all. What does that mean? It means, Ya Rasulullah, please do something about it. Hana, you know, some people say that you shouldn't ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for help. They should come and see the lives of the Sahaba ikram. They always came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to seek help. All the time. They always came in the court of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that I forget all your hadith. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not say that, oh Abu Huraira, go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you need strength in your memory. Or go and find some medicine and use that medicine to strengthen your memory. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his blessed hands. He raised his blessed hands. How powerful must these hands be? They are empty apparently, there's nothing to be seen in them. But he raises these hands, and Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that he brings them together in thin air, and then he makes the gesture of placing something into my shawl. And do you know, before sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that, he ordered Abu Huraira to lay down his shawl that he was wearing, piece of cloth, the shawl. He said, lay down your shawl. And Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an lays down his shawl. And do you know why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, lay down your whole shawl? Because, oh Abu Huraira, what I am to give to you now will not come in your hands. It will not come in your clothing here. Therefore, oh Abu Huraira, lay down your whole shawl. I am going to give you so much now. Lay down your whole shawl. And he lays it all down. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes the gesture in thin air, and he makes the gesture of putting something, placing something into the blessed shawl of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And then he says, "Dummahu ila sadrika ya Abu Huraira," that, oh Abu Huraira, now take this shawl and place it onto your chest. Place this shawl onto your chest. But do you know what? Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was seeing that there is nothing inside the shawl. There was nothing in the hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was nothing there. He couldn't see anything. But he didn't say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, there was nothing in your hands. There is nothing in the shawl, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. I can see that the shawl is exactly as I had laid it down. What am I putting onto my chest? He didn't say that. Do you know why he didn't say that? Why did he not say that? Because Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala knew. And do you know that people today are arguing that did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam know the knowledge of the unseen or not? People are arguing today that did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam know the knowledge of the unseen or not? Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala knew that never mind knowing the knowledge of the unseen, look here, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is distributing the unseen. He is distributing the unseen. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is distributing the unseen, never mind knowing the unseen. And that is why in the Quran it says, وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينَ. In the Quran it says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a miser in distributing the unseen. He is generous, and he generously distributes the unseen. And this is an example. There is nothing to be seen in the shawl of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. But he knows that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not only a knower of the unseen, but also he distributes the unseen. And therefore Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala places that shawl onto his chest. And then he says, when he narrated this hadith many years later, he says, "Kemash." مَا نَسِيتُ بَعْدُ شَيْئًا سَمِئْتُهُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Since that time, since I placed that shawl onto my chest, since that time, I have never forgotten. مَا نَسِيتُ بَعْدُ شَيْئًا سَمِئْتُهُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. I have never forgot anything that I heard from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Nothing at all. And do you know what شَيْئًا means? Not a whole hadith. I have not just forgotten a whole hadith. It means I have not even forgotten one word. Not even one letter. Not even a harakah, not even a fatha, dhamma or kasra. I have not forgotten anything, shay'an, nothing at all, not even the manner of reciting that hadith in the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited it. Ma nasitu ba'du shay'an. So these are the blessed empty hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is so much power in these hands. Sayyiduna Ali Murtada radiyallahu anhu, the lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is mentioned in Abu Dawud Sharif, and from my overwhelming thought I remember that this is also in Tirmidhi Sharif, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala that, O Ali, I have made you the chief justice of Yemen. Go to Yemen and judge amongst the people and resolve the matters between the people of Yemen. Any two people who have a case, then go and solve them issues. Go and judge amongst those people. And Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala says, Ki ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayka wa sallam, Inni rajulun shabun, la a'lamu kathiran min al-qada. Ya Rasulullah, I am a young man. I do not know much about law and order, about the knowledge of qada. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayka wa sallam. What he means is, Ya Rasulullah, choose somebody else. Somebody who has experience in law and order. Somebody who has experience in being a chief justice. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say, O Ali, you are right, I will choose somebody else. No. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says in the hadith that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam struck the chest of the Prophet of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. He hit the chest of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And do you know when he hit the chest of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, Allahumma hdi qalba, that, O Allah, give guidance to his heart. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that since that time when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam struck my chest, since then, ma shakaktu ba'du fi qada'in bayna ithnain. I never had any doubt or any problem or any difficulty in solving the matter between two people. Never had a problem. Why? Because when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam struck my chest with his empty blessed hands, an ocean of knowledge entered into my chest. And do you know that today some of our teachers in the madaris, they sometimes hit us, they sometimes strike us, because we've not learnt our lesson, we've not memorized our lesson before we've come to the classroom, we don't remember the lesson, we've not spent time at home learning the lesson. And sometimes they hit us lightly just to show that they are disappointed. But what happens with that? That which we remembered, we forget that as well. We also forget what we actually remembered from before. That is what happens when the ustad, when the teacher in the madrasa hits us. But look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he hits and strikes Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that which he knew or remembered, that became completely fresh. And that which he did not know, he came to know that as well. These are the blessed hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His empty hands used to possess the power from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, this is all the power given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there are people who claim that we, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, ma'adallah, say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the same power as Allah. Al-ayadu billah, we don't believe that. We believe that it is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say that, oh, he split the moon into two. It was Allah who split the moon into two. That doesn't show any speciality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says to the deceased, Qum bi idhnillah, stand in the name of Allah, with the hukum of Allah. There's no speciality in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, bi idhnillah, by the hukum of Allah. So it's Allah's hukum, not the Prophet. There's no speciality. Ma'ad Allah al-ayadu billah. May Allah protect us all from such disgusting and disrespectful beliefs of the Prophet in regards to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anybody says that to you, tell them that, okay, if that's not special, then you say to the moon, split into two. Split into two by the command of Allah. Tell him to say it. Let's see if it splits into two. Tell him to say to a deceased man, Qum bi idhnillah, Qum bi idhnillah. Say to the deceased, not by my hukum, but by Allah's hukum you stand. We'll see if that deceased person stands. Then he will have to accept that yes, wallahi, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is indeed the most special and the most powerful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hannah, absolutely there is no doubt in that. This is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, perfect from head to toe. The ulama kiram have said that he is our iman. He is the one who brought us the Quran. He is the one who gave us iman. He gave us everything. And he is the most beautiful. Now think to yourself that we as humans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our nature has placed this habit, or it's part of our nature that we imitate and we copy other people. Every human being, and not only humans, it's also seen in animals. Those who have studied animals and the way of the humans, they will tell you that it's in the nature of animals and humans that they imitate people. When they walk in a specific manner that they have seen somebody else walk. When they speak imitating somebody else. Although there's slightly their own manner and style, but they are imitating someone. When they grow up, the way they cut their hair, the way they have their face, the way they adorn themselves, the way they clothe themselves, they imitate someone. And do you know what the nature of humans is? That when they seek somebody to imitate, who shall we copy? They seek that person who they find the most beautiful, who they find the most complete, who they find is just amazing. Isn't that true? If you look at the youngsters, even the old people, they also, there are old celebrities who the old people also follow. There are young celebrities who the young people follow. They imitate them. They see football players. Wow, he's amazing. Oh wow, this celebrity is so amazing. I want this hairstyle. They follow the hairstyle and the manner of these celebrities because they find that these people are beautiful and they are complete and they are free from faults. Ma'adallah. The truth is that everybody has a fault in them. Why do you need to go and follow them? Those who are disbelievers, why do we need to go and follow and imitate them? When Allah has given us He who is the most beautiful and He who is the most complete, He who is free from faults, He in regards to whom if somebody believes that he has a fault in him, then he doesn't remain a believer. The Quran tells us that there is none more better than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the only reason why our youth follow and imitate the wrong people is because they have not known and they have not been taught and they do not know how beautiful the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. Study the Shama'il. Study the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Learn how he was, learn how he walked, learn his style, learn his manner, and you will learn that he without doubt is the most beautiful creation of Allah. And you know, when you see some youth, some of our youth wearing the Imam al-Sharif, wearing the Muslim libas, do you know why they do that? Because they have studied the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when a Muslim, a believer studies the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will fall in love. And when he falls in love, he will start imitating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will eat the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate. He will walk the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked. He will speak the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke. And this is why my message in this speech to you is all of us should learn the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and imitate the manner and way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to learn and benefit from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And an important message just before I finish is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the sahaba kiram, "Ki'tammu bi likay ya'tamma bikum man ba'dakum," that you all follow me and follow my manner and my style and my way and be obedient to me so that those who come after me, they follow you and they imitate you and they be obedient to you. You understand what I'm saying? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say, "Can you follow me so that the people who come after me, they also follow me. And the people who come after them, they also follow me." No, you follow me so that those who come after you, they follow you. And then those who come after, they follow them. And those who come after, they follow them. Those who come after, they follow them. And like this, it continues until the Day of Judgment. This hadith is very important. It teaches us that we should all follow this chain of imitation, and we should follow the ulama, the rightly guided ulama of our time, and we should imitate them, we should follow them, we should be obedient to them. And you know, when you search a scholar, don't just follow any alim, because remember, even shaitan was an alim. You follow the ulama who are imitating those who came before, those who are on the path of the Salafus Salihin, those people who want to change and forget the Salaf, forget those who came before and show a new way of Islam. Don't follow them. Follow those who stayed on the path of the Aslaf, those who followed the path of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu anh. Do you know the Arab ulama ikram, the ulama of the Arab world? They say, إِذَا جَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْهِنْدِ, when a man from India, and at that time India was not only India as it is now, but the whole subcontinent. When a man إِذَا جَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْهِنْدِ فَنَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّيْخ أَحْمَدْ رِضَى خَانْ, then we would ask that man who came from the subcontinent, what do you have to say in regards to Ahmad Rida Khan, Sheikh Ahmad Rida Al-Barelvi? This is the ulama Haramain. They used to say, إِذَا جَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْهِنْدِ نَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّيْخ أَحْمَدْ رِضَى خَانْ إِن مَدَحَهُ فَعَلِمْنَا أَنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. If he praises Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu anh, then we know that he is from the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. وَإِن ذَمَّهُ, and if he speaks ill about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَعَلِمْنَا أَنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبِدَةِ, then we know that he is from amongst the Ahlul Bidah. Why is this? Because Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu anh, he remains steadfast on the way of his Salaf, his Aslaf, on the way of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu anh, on the way of the Awliya Kiram like Imam Shaduli radiallahu anh, on the way of people like Imam Busairi radiallahu anh, on the way of people like Shaykh Mu'inuddin Ajmeri radiallahu anh, on the way of Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anh, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. This is why Imam Ahmad Raza was recognized by the ulama of Harmain Sharifain, because he stuck to the Aslaf. And that is why today we should follow our ulama ikram and follow those who follow the Aslaf, who have remained steadfast on the path of those who came before. And that is what will make you successful, because that is the hukum of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa rasulahu wa ulil amri minkum. And the ulil amr, and who are the ulil amr? The ulama-i-kiram say that these are the fuqaha-i-kiram, those people who have mastered the ilm-i-tafsir, they have mastered ilm-i-hadith, they have mastered ilm-ul-mantiq, they have mastered ilm-ul-adab, ilm-ul-lugha, the Arabic language, and they have mastered all the sciences of Islam, and they have mastered Islamic fiqh, the law of Islam. Those are the fuqaha-i-kiram, and those people you should follow as well. So obedience to Allah, obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and obedience to the ulama-i-kiram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to respect our ulama-i-kiram and imitate our ulama-i-kiram and follow the ulama-i-kiram and remain steadfast upon the path of our aslaf, the salafus salihin. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.